Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can come together and worship you, come as a body and lift up our praises to you, God. And Lord, I pray you just enlighten us, speak to us, and that we can see the truth of your word to be an encouragement to us. And I'm so thankful that we have our salvation through you and what you've done for us. And so, Lord, I really do pray you open up the word to us. I pray you anoint me with the Spirit, God. I just speak things of the Spirit and that you would receive, that each person would just receive the things you have to say. So we praise your holy name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, open up your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll have that verse on the overhead if you want to look at that. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. So this is basic. The verse is really talking about the church corporately. I mean, it's church individually for us, but as we corporately gather. So this is kind of focusing on the church corporately. Now, if you got a bulletin, I love the picture that Fran put in our bulletin. I always send her, you know, the title of the message. And then so I'm always, and she'll put something, a little picture on the front of it. I love this picture. She, when I looked at it this morning, but you look at that and you see four people standing there with puzzle pieces, and look, and they're connected. Connected. That's the greatest picture in the world, talking about the church. And the title of the message is Assembled. And what God intended, he brings his body together. Okay, it's his people. They've trusted him. And they are fit together to do his work as his body. So that's an excellent picture. We're supposed to fit together like that. You know, we shouldn't have our own puzzle piece hitting somebody else over the head with our puzzle piece. Okay, they're supposed to fit together. I thought that was funny. Nobody laughed at that, but anyway. So, so they're standing. So it's a great picture of the body of Christ as God intended. And I want to give a little history here. When what God is showing us with the church, which he calls here God's temple, he's talking about the church. He's talking about individual congregations. Now, he's talking church universal, but individual congregations who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that makes it his church. So he really is focusing, there's his churches all over the place, and talking about our church. And it's interesting when you look at this, he calls it God's temple. Now, other places, he does call it the church, you know, uses the word, but he also uses the words God's temple. And where this comes from is the as we look in the scripture in the Old Testament and how the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament, we have this big picture. In the Old Testament, you had the temple, the Jewish temple. It was as prominent throughout the Old Testament. And what the Old Testament temple was is a picture, and I put this thing, a picture of the true temple that's coming. The true temple that's coming. And so what you have is that Jesus spoke of his body, of himself. Jesus spoke of himself, and he says, I am the temple. He called himself the temple. And then in other places, and what we see here, that the people who individually and collectively trust in God are called his temple. So this is all tied into the Old Testament. You have a temple, okay? That's where God resided, and the people came there to worship. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus goes, I'm the temple, and he calls the people that gather against us, you're the temple. So what he's meaning is when we come together as a church, we are the temple of God, just like the Old Testament temple, in a spiritual fashion. The Old Testament, they came there to meet with God through the priest. New Testament, you come to church, you gather together as God's people to meet with God hear his word, praise him. And so the church has really replaced the Old Testament temple in that respect. And that's what it's saying right here in this verse. And so he's identifying us as who we are, and he wants us to recognize who we are. And so this is how God says, this is my temple. Okay, so there's that physical reality, so we have that picture, okay? It's important to God. It's the Old Testament temple is important. This temple is important because he dwells here. And he dwells in us. And so that's come together like that. Now, so when he builds his temple, there's in 1 Peter it talks about, it calls us spiritual stones. I mean, he actually says it, calls Jesus the cornerstone. We're spiritual stones. So he's going to build it with spiritual stones. But you can see the typology in all that as he's explaining it. And so God says, okay, I'm going to build my temple in the New Testament. Well, what is he saying? And just listen to this. I'll jump to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Ephesians 2, 22. It says this, because we have the idea of how God builds his temple in the New Testament now. And it says this, in Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Think about this. Think about this. It says you are being built together is a dwelling place for God. Okay. In the Old Testament, and it was built the Old Testament temple, and it says, I'll meet with you there. That's what God said. Well, that Old Testament temple's gone. Where's God going to meet with us? In his temple, in his congregation. So now the church, we individually and then corporately, you know, other churches around the world that trust in Jesus, he says, I'm going to meet with you. You're my temple. It's the church. The church has replaced that meeting place. And what makes that meeting place holy is that he meets with his people. And what makes it holy is his people show up. His people show up. You didn't know that. You know, it's like, what makes this place, what would make this place holy? Because you showed up. Isn't that? Hallelujah. So I'm glad you showed up. You made it holy by just coming here. Now, but anyway, so I'm driving home. The point, and so when he tells you I'm building my church, and what it says in Ephesians, I'm building my church, it's being built together. It's a dwelling place for God through his Spirit. This is what this is for. So God dwells with his Spirit, speaks and meets with his people. And you come together to worship him. That's the point. That's the point. You know, and that's the point like, should I come to church? Should I not come to church? I'm getting tired of listening to Wallace. You know, good grief. And, you know, I just don't know whether I should go or not. Okay, well, I don't blame you. I think if I was you, I wouldn't go either. Like that. But when you think, oh, well, I'm going to gather with God's people and God's presence there, and I'm going to experience God together corporately. Well, that's kind of hard not to, you know, I mean, you better have a good, you know, you think, I don't really have a good reason, you know, not to go, because I'm going to gather with God's people together. And that's his temple, and we make up that temple. And so there's a dynamic that God's saying, you need to experience this dynamic and meet with me and your people. And I'm there. I'm there. See what I'm saying? And that's what he's saying. So that's what he's saying. So that's why it's so important. Is he's telling us who we are and who he is, and we're fulfilling the Old Testament by meeting together. Amen? And so that helps us understand why these things are so important. And two, it's important to know, like when the New Testament was written, all of it, the temple was there. The Old Testament temple was still there. It hadn't been destroyed there. So, and the primary believers at the time, or majority, but were Jewish people, or they understood the Jewish culture. They knew what he was talking about. When Paul said, they knew full well what he was talking about. Now here we're like, you know, temples around here. What are you talking about? But no, they knew then, because that temple hadn't been destroyed, and the first believers were the Jewish people. So they had fully understood what he was saying. Now, he also says something here which is interesting. Take that whole belief of God, you know, resides with his people, and his people gather together, and that is the church, and that is the church. And then he said, you know, 1 Corinthians, we just previously read, he said, now if anybody tries to destroy God's church or God's temple, if anyone tries to destroy God's church, God will destroy them. It's like, whoa, who's them? He's like saying, and we'll just use you, so come since we're here. He said, this is my body, this is my temple, this is my church. You better leave them alone. That's what God said. You better leave them alone, because I'm going to take care of them. Don't bother them. Okay. You see, there's a protection. Well, he said, there's protection in the body. Who's the protection? God. It's my church. Don't you hurt them. Don't you destroy them, or I will destroy you. And that language is kind of hard. You know, I mean, that's a harsh language. But we should be encouraged. It's like, wow. You know, we're kind of important. God's not going to let anybody hurt us. He's not going to let hurt. It says, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Amen? So that's encouraging as we look at that. Now, also, I have to be honest with you, you look here and you go, geez. So it's also telling any leader, pastor, or minister who builds God's temple or his church in a shoddy way deserves destruction of his doctrine and his false testimony. It's like, you know, when I read that, and I thought, well, maybe I should really need to watch what I say. You know, it's like, you're going, because what God is saying is, no, you're held accountable because this is my church. And if you feed them something in error, you know, I'm going to take it out on you. On you. And there's a verse in James that says, no one should desire to be a teacher, because you'll be held to a higher standard. It's like, whoa, see? But why? He said, I don't want you saying anything that's not building up good doctrine, highlighting the Lord Jesus Christ for the scriptures, because I'm going to hold you accountable for my church. And he says that in other places. And so it's like, okay, you know, he gives you a point. You know, you think about that. I think about that Sunday morning. Says, you know, and I've told you before, you know, I get up a little earlier like that. And they said, why do you get up early? To study? I said, no, I've already done all my studying. Well, why do you get up early? I said, just kind of cleanse my heart, you know. He said, wow, that's cool. That's holy. I said, no, I'm scared. Yeah. It's like, you know, this is, you know, you need to watch what you say here. So anyway, the reason is clear. You know, God's temple is sacred, holy, it's set apart, and God in his justice cannot allow his holy work to be damaged without bringing retribution on the people that damaged it. And that's what this is saying. So you're talking about the body of Christ here. This is a fitting warning to every Christian minister and worker. Don't damage my body. Don't damage my body. You know, you may talk about you and not calling anybody to account, but you hear somebody and you say, man, they're not giving the gospel. It's a false gospel. Have a big following, you know, and you look at that. And my first thought is like, whoa, they ain't going to be good, you know. Because it has nothing to do with me, but it's just like, no, you have just calmed down on you, God's judgment, because of what you've done to his body, what you're telling his body, leading his body astray. So that's what this verse is saying. So the point of it is we should be encouraged to be here and look in the Word of God, and then we're building the community, because God is present and God lives within us as we are present, and there's this dynamic that's built together. See, and I go back to Fran's, you know, picture on the front of the bulletin. That's where it's supposed to work. You know, and again, we're fallible creatures and we make mistakes, but we just, you know, we continue to build and grow in, because we have Christ as our mentor and in our view to grow towards him, and so we try to grow to others. Now, this is necessary, and that God will have his hand on the church and works with his church. This is necessary because the church stands apart from the world as a witness to Christ. See? We stand apart because we're a witness to Christ. And the world attempts to prove that the church is foolish, while God uses the church to prove that the world is foolish. See? And it's like, well, they don't agree, and maybe we should, you know, compromise here, and maybe we should kind of more so we can embrace the world, you know. And so the church, God goes, no, that's not why you're here. You're to show a picture of who I am. You don't embrace the world. No, that's not why you're here. You embrace me, and you're going to stand counter to the world representing who I am. And guys, and I will protect you. I will protect you. See, you compromise, you're moving out of God's protection. See what I'm saying? And so, he's telling us, you know, it's just amazing what happens when you read your Bible. I mean, it's like, and everything's here. So, what we have, and so then he goes on and he tells us this. This is why you're separate from the world. You don't need to compromise. You need to follow me, preach the goodness, love of Christ. And he says this just a couple of verses down from 1 Corinthians where we open. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, 20, it says this. This is why. God says, this is why. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. Now just think about it. He looks at the wisdom of this world and he's going, you know, look at this. No, this is folly. Folly. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Okay? So, here's the world. Here's the church. Church, you worship me. The world said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I have the church. So we're worshiping God. And he says, well, it's futile what they're doing. They're folly. And I'm going to catch them in their foolishness. Don't compromise with them. See? Because now you're moving in that direction. You're moving in that direction. We share the love of Christ, God's open arms, but we don't compromise ourselves with the world. So he's laying all this out, who we are. So, and we have one place, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, the contrast of the church and the world are highlighted, also in the next couple of chapters, they're highlighted when the Apostle Paul calls on the church to Corinth, at Corinth, to deal with a very grievous sin committed by one of its members. So you got this guy in here, and I mean, I'll tell you what he did. I mean, it was just, everybody here would go, dang, right? Okay? And he calls upon, says, you got this guy in this church. You know, wait a minute, you don't believe it. I can't believe you're letting him get away with this. And so how he deals with it, we can see how Paul has him to deal with it, gives us a better understanding of the church in the world and how it's supposed to be a light to the world and how it's supposed to function. And also the protection he offers within the church. And it goes this, is 1 Corinthians 5:4-5. It says this. And he says, you got to deal with this guy. And by the way, if he's in this church, everybody go, you got to deal with this guy. You know, you'd be knocking. If I didn't, you'd be going, what are you doing? You know, okay, like that. Anyway, so 1 Corinthians 5:4. When you, talking about the church, when you, the church, are assembled. You see that there? You're not going knocking on your neighbor's door and says, you know, I just don't like you. When the church is assembled, when you, the church, are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of the Lord Jesus. Now, see what's happening? You come, oh, I just thought I was coming here, you know, I prop my feet up and listen to Wallace go on and on and on and just go home. Guy goes, no, that's not what's happening here. That's not what's supposed to happened here? Because what's happening here is that I am present and you're coming in my presence, and there's an experience here focusing on the Lord in your life. So I'm going to start read the whole thing, because then I'll go into the punchline here. When you, the church, are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his flesh may be saved in the day of the Lord, or when Jesus comes back. You are to deliver this man to Satan. Now I'm asking you, well, just what we read, what do you do? I mean, how do you deliver him to Satan? You know? Well, this is God's temple. God says it's my temple. He brings it. We are his temple corporately. And so we are worshiping God. We are meeting together and carrying out what God intended as believers. We meet together. We worship the Lord. God says, I will protect this temple. Okay? How would you turn someone over to Satan? Leave the temple. Because it's out there. That's where Satan's operating, not in here. He's operating out there. And says, this guy, he's not buying into nothing you say. Let him go out. Not welcome anymore. You know, you're just not welcome. So you just go over there, and you and Satan do your thing. Because that is the world, and it says the whole world's under control of the evil one, but we're the children of God. So we just allow the guy to go and participate what he wants to do in the world that he's craving, but not here. See? And we hate it, and we'll cry, and it's like, but we still do it. You know? But it's his choice. You know, it's his choice. It was actually his choice, because he's hurting people in here by his behavior. It wasn't like, I didn't like the shoes you wore. You know, we have a law here that this is the only kind of shoes you wear. We're not talking about that nonsense. We're talking about something that's hurting other people. All right, you see what I'm saying? It's a different thing. But with the point I want, it drives home when God says, you're the temple of the Lord. It's like, man, it's safe in here. We're okay. I mean, we're safe in here. And God said, anybody mess with you, says, I'm going to destroy them. No, don't mess with my people. Don't mess with my people. That's what these verses are saying. So it's important for us as the church to be aware of what's happening. We just need to be aware of what's happening. And it impacts the way we think. All right? So, this man is delivered to Satan by putting him out of the church. Now, Paul calls some church members unrighteous. I mean, you call a church member unrighteous because you don't know if somebody's accepted Christ or not. And Paul calls some of them unrighteous because their behavior is indistinguishable from the unbelieving world. I mean, I don't know why you even like it here, because you know, it seems like you're happier out there, you know. I mean, it's trying to, you kind of make a decision, you know, what you want to do. So based on their actions, they are treated the same as an unbeliever. Now, I mean, y'all may be struggling to come and listen to me for 30 minutes, but I'm going to tell you, an unbeliever ain't doing it. He's, I ain't listening to him 5 minutes. See, I mean, see, it's like, well, I don't know why you're coming. See, so, but as difficult as this is, we must differentiate between those embracing the lost world and those embracing saving grace of God. Now, I want to understand, because this hate legalism, the Bible condemns legalism. We don't have any part of it. But yet it comes to the point, and we want people to grow in the Lord and be excited to the Lord, and we'll come alongside anybody and walk through all their stuff to, you know, to encourage them in the Lord. But when somebody just says, you know, it kind of, nah, I'm not doing it. I don't, you know, I love you on pot luck, but I ain't having nothing to do with anything else you believe. You know, it's like, well, I don't know if this is the place for you. You see, but it's their decision to go counter to everything we believe. They're kind of in your face about it, you know, like you go up and please, no, not doing. But anyway, so this is why he's explaining you. And then he goes on, and this is kind of chapter 6, and this gets a little heavy here. And he says, or don't you know, and it's like this sin, I'm not even talking about this guy, what he did. And by the way, everybody here would go, you got to be kidding me. And Paul says, even the world doesn't do what you did. You know, we're going to throw you the world. They don't even want you. I can't believe what you're doing. But it says in 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know, or do you not know, this is why we have to ask someone to leave here, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, your lifestyle, I just can't, you're not making any connections here. And I love this part when it comes at the end of it. He said, don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So we're talking about it. And then he says this, and such were some of you. And all God's people said, amen. Because such we were. We were. And such were some of you. But you were, what makes us different? But you were washed. You were sanctified, set apart. You were justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. You were just like him. You were just like him. You're just like that guy we asked to leave. You were just like, and he said, but you came to Jesus and you were washed. Why are we here? Because we're good? No, because we're washed. Washed. That's the only reason we're here, because we're washed, you know? And so we're here because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus. Only because of Jesus. So the members of the church, like all the world, were hopeless and lost. Coming to Christ is the only difference between us and the rest of the world. Now that's kind of important to think about. What's different between us and the world? Well, like it, we like these rules, and they like this rules, and we don't do that, and they do this. And well, no, that's not the difference. The difference with the world and us is we came to Christ and the world didn't. That's it. But that's bottom line. That's where you start. That is it. And then we start behaving like, okay, Jesus, I'm having a tough time. Walk me through this. Well, and we're all doing the same thing. You know, we're not there, but we know where we want to go through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to get there. And so, therefore, being washed, we now are the temple of God. Okay, why are we God's temple? Because we washed. You know, he said, you didn't, I just washed you and made you the temple, you know, made you the temple. And that's the reason I'm pausing. I have a thought that come up, story. I said, I don't need to tell that story. Anyway, that's why I paused there. Anyway, but the point of, you're washed, and therefore we're the temple of God. And Jesus dwells here, because he made us worthy to dwell here. What did I do worthy to get here? I got washed. I didn't do anything. I got washed, you know. And that's it, you know. Now it's like, okay, God starts working with us and trying to start behaving more like what God intended as he tells me and communicates to me. So God has reconciled mankind to himself and to each other through Jesus Christ. Now, right here, we're coming to the point, and this is huge with the church. This is huge with the church. And when we recognize this, there can come a unity. There can come a unity. Is that God has reconciled mankind to himself and to each other through Jesus. So if you don't accept Jesus or walk with Jesus, there's no reconciliation with God, and there's no reconciliation with each other. But through Christ's forgiveness, and we have some hope to pull it together. Amen? This is what he's telling us. Now he goes on in 1 Corinthians. Now this verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, whereas the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is kind of talking about more of the body corporately, but individually we make it up. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:19 is talking about the individual. The individual. So, again, we've talked about this, because all this information. Right now we're going, okay, I got what you're saying. Now the Apostle Paul says this. So he's putting an exclamation mark on what he's already said, what I've just shared. And he says this, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know? And I like that. I mean, how many of you do with your kids? Don't you know? You know, like if you told them 50 times, don't you know? Like that. This is what Paul's saying. Don't you know? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? That's right. Don't you know who you are? Again, I always love kids. That's the reason I like people become their kids, you know, because the kids challenge everything they ever believed. You know, it's like they were perfect parents until they had kids. Okay. See, and they have kids, and then they, you know, it's just like, don't you know that's your father's side of the family? It's my family. We'd never do what you teach. You know, in fact, you're just like, you can't believe it. You can't believe. You know, or there's a switch up at the hospital. You can't believe. How did this happen? You know. And so the Apostle Paul, that's what he's telling us, says, don't you know? Don't you know, my children, children of God, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? I mean, do that with your child. See, you're right. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, then spank them. But you see what I'm saying? All right. Don't you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Now, why is he doing all this? And he's talking about the bigger temple of God. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, you're the temple of God. Don't you know who you are? You know, have you seen, you do this, don't you know? God is going, don't you know? That's what he's doing. See, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, Holy Spirit is just God's presence with us, within you, whom you have from God. That's the reason we're the temple of God. That's the reason we come together and the church is the temple of God. That's the reason God is the temple, dwells with us, and works fellowship through us to do what he wants to do and sets us apart from the world, different from the world. And some people who just don't want to have any part of this, well, you need to go to the world where you're more comfortable, you know. That's basically it. So there we have that we're the temple. And so individually, corporately, we belong to God. And by the way, too, you know, you probably, if you watch the news, I advise you not to, but if you do, you look at all the social and racial problems. This is the solution. This is everything you're hearing. It's not the solution. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. This is the solution. Introduce someone to Jesus. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Now there's reconciliation with God and with each other. It's the only way. That's the only way. Now you can build off of that, but everything else is going to fall through. Everything else is going to fall through. So it goes on to say, I'm going to get through this verse. Okay. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. What price? Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He served as a substitute for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. That was the price he paid for us individually. 1 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin. Whose sin did he become? Mine, yours. He became sin. He bought us back. He redeemed us, which means to purchase back. We were redeemed by him dying on the cross. You were bought with a price. You're bought with a price. So glorify God. Now he's asking us, glorify God with your bodies, because we were bought with a price. Amen? And that's the people within the church, his temple. That's the thing. We were all bought with a price. We look to him. We look to him for guidance. We thank him that through him we were washed. We were washed. Individually and corporately, we belong to Jesus Christ. He paid a high price for us. He died in our place for our sins. Therefore, in response, we glorify God in our bodies. See, what affects our behavior? We glorify God, and about it we go, oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. That's, I mean, everything was, oh my God, thank you. Because I would not be washed. I would not be redeemed if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't have a home in heaven. Thank you. So as a motivation, anything we do, we look at him first. Thank you. Then that starts dictating our behavior in other areas. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you did. Now, stop doing that. No, thank you for what you did. It motivates your behavior. And you glorify God. Why? For what he did for you. You're thankful. He loved you, and you love him back. We love God because he first loved us. We love him back. We love him back. Now, so this whole picture, and what this whole thing is, it's about the temple of God. I mean, all of this, I mean, you can talk about all the other stuff, but all this is about the temple of God, corporately and individually. And he's trying to say, this is what the church is, this is who you are. This is who you are. Now, we have that. Okay, everybody got it? Amen? Okay. Now you're ready for this verse. You're ready for this verse. Okay, the mystery, based on what we just talked about, the mystery is fulfilled now. It's fulfilled. We're the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is the temple of the Lord. That mystery, and Apostle Paul and the Bible and New talks about the mystery, and that's the mystery. We're the mystery that's being revealed to the world, what we just talked about. See, the temple was never meant to be a physical place where God dwelt and people came to worship. That's not what it was meant to be. The Old Testament temple was a picture of the eternal relationship we have with God through Christ, thus making us reconciled. We continuously offer him praise for the temple. That was just a picture. Okay, you see, okay. He said, now you just do this all the time. You come here. Now you're the temple, and you offer him praise. They would go to the temple. He was there and meet with them. They offer him praise. He goes, now you come to church. Here's the temple. Offer him praise. Okay, and the church is a gathering. Okay, a gathering. And so, okay, y'all with me? Because I'm building. This is the reason there is not any physical temple in heaven. There's no physical temple in heaven, ever. I mean, if it's such a big deal, God to build a good one, you know? But no, there's no physical temple in heaven. Why? Why? We're the temple. For all eternity, we're the temple. We have a constant praise and worship and relationship with God for all eternity. And we are the temple. And that's what he's done. That's what God reconciled to himself. That's what he wanted for all eternity. For us to be one with him, reconciled, and be the temple. Amen? Listen to what it says in Revelation 21. How many chapters in Revelation? 22? 4, 22? I can't remember. So this is late. Okay, so end of Revelation. We're in the Bible. Revelations 21, 22. Apostle John has a view of heaven. He sees heaven. He sees the final picture of heaven. And he says this. He looks into heaven, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The temple is God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That's the temple. There's no temple. For the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There's no temple, because God is the temple filling everything. Then we, his people, with the Holy Spirit in us, are the people that are incorporated with him for all eternity. And he is our light.
is what we see. He is who we communicate with. We are one with Him for all eternity to do whatever He's doing, you know? So He says, and the revelation of the Bible, what the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all the Bible's for. That's why it's for. Or you can go through and pick out rules and all, but that's not what it's for. It's to reveal Jesus Christ and the redemption of man, to get us from a physical temple to that we are the temple, but God is the temple and He is the light, and we have that relationship here for all eternity. We are reconciled with God as one for all eternity. Wow. Wow. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's beyond description. Beyond description. It's funny, when the Apostle Paul, the other day I told you, I said, the Apostle Paul was the only one I knew that's hooking up, taking up to heaven. I just said, well, also Apostle John, he got a peek too. But then when the Apostle Paul went up, said, caught him up, and he came out, and he said, I can't describe it. Why? Because he saw that. There's no words to describe what I saw. I can't describe it. But took him up there. But so here we are, we're ending with this. It's like, hallelujah. We do not recognize who we are. That's our problem. We don't know who we are. God knows who we are, but we don't know who we are. And He keeps trying to tell us who we are. And this is what this verse does. These verses in 1 Corinthians do. So what we have here, so you have eternity with this unimaginable, where there's no temple, it's just God and Jesus are the light. They're the presence, and we're one with them, one with them, okay? So we see that coming. And what we have here, what the Bible tells us we have here, is a little bit of taste of that, a little taste of that with the church. With the church. See? And I think, man, and I'll just use myself. You know, I'll just say, not any of you would, but just say one of you irritated me. Okay. Not you wouldn't, not irritated me. All the people that irritated me have already left. So anyway, other than that. So a little irritation, but you look at that, it's like, how can I get that irritated with God's people? You know, God indwells them. This is God's building. How can, it's like, okay, no, we need to something, get it together and focus on Christ and pull it together, because we're one. We're the temple of God. This is a taste of heaven. If it's a taste of heaven, I shouldn't be that irritated at you. See? No, I'm not irritated at anybody in here. I'm just saying. But you see what I'm saying? And I know y'all don't get irritated at anybody. Okay, just that. But you see what I'm saying? This the church is supposed to be a taste of heaven. Oh, yes. But you need to, as God speaks it, as we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, Him empowering us to live out the Christian life, not under a set of rules and legalism, which quenches the Spirit of God. But that's what it's supposed to be. Church is supposed to be a taste of heaven. Taste of heaven. So, I'm making a promise before God right now. Each time I talk to you, I'm going to say, like I talked to Todd, I'm going to say, you know, Todd, he's just a taste of heaven. Anyway, like I just, you know, I'm going to preface it like that. But that's what God is telling me. And so, again, there's difficulties, and they address difficulties in the Bible, how we are grow, how we to develop, and stuff. So it's hard because we're who we are, but it's workable. It's workable, you know, and God tells you it's workable, and so let's work out it. Workable in love, because Christ loved us. We're to love others like Christ loved us. I love the verse says, forgive others as I have forgiven you. Oh, okay. You see what I'm saying? It all ties together. So, hallelujah. So, we have an eternal union with God through Christ, which will fully be expressed in the future glory when we go into His presence into heaven. Into heaven. So, how did God? God is wanted to fulfill His desire, and He says, you know, I got to fulfill this desire, and I got to get these people on board. And that's how He did it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And by the way, Romans says He loved us while we were yet sinners. It's like, For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, residing in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity with all the other believers that trust him. Amen? And that's good news. Amen? That is good news. It's all about relationship. It's all about what Jesus did for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word and what you tell us. I mean, you're telling us stuff that's inexpressible. You're telling us stuff that it's just beyond our comprehension. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we just pray you continue to open our minds, be our teacher, God. And truly, just as you dwell in us, Lord, as you speak to us, God, that we would be more sensitive to you, to see what you're doing in transforming our own lives and being encouragement to others as they walk with you, God. And it truly